Rest yourself, Lieutenant Conrad, and get some food. I will want to speak with you further about this later. Vin found Ellen later that night, standing on the perimeter of the camp, looking up at the Fadrix watchfires on the cliffs above. She laid a hand on his shoulder, and the fact that he didn't jump indicated that he'd heard her coming. It was still a little strange to her that Ellen, who had always seemed slightly oblivious of the world around him, was now a capable mistborn with tin to enhance his ears that let him hear even the softest footsteps approaching. "You talked to the messenger?" she asked as he put his arm around her, still looking up at the night sky. Ash fell all around them. A couple of Ellen's soldier tin eyes passed on patrol, carrying no lights, silently walking the perimeter of the camp. Vin herself had just gotten back from a similar patrol, though hers had been around the perimeter of Fadrix. She did a couple of rounds every night, watching the city for unusual activity. "Yes," Ellen said. Once he'd had some rest, I spoke to him in depth.
"Bad news?"
"Much of what he said before. Penrod apparently never got my orders to send food and troops. Conrad was one of four messengers Penrod sent to us. We don't know what happened to the other three. Conrad himself was chased by a group of Koloss, and he only got away by baiting them with his horse, sending it in one direction and hiding as they chased it down and butchered it. He slipped away while they were feasting."
"Brave man," Vin said.
"Lucky as well," Ellen said. "Either way, it seems unlikely that Penrod will be able to send us support. There are food stores in Luthadel, but if the news of riots is true, Penrod won't be able to spare the soldiers it would take to guard supplies on their way to us."
"So, where does that leave us?" Vin asked.
Ellen looked at her, and she was surprised to see determination in his eyes, not frustration. "With knowledge."
"What?"
"Our enemy has exposed himself, Vin, attacking our messengers directly with hidden pockets of Koloss, trying to undermine our supply base in Luthadel." Ellen shook his head. "Our enemy wants this to look random, but I see the pattern. It's too focused, too intelligent, to be happenstance. He's trying to make us pull away from Fadrix." Vin felt a chill. Ellen made to say more, but she reached up and laid a hand on his lips, quieting him. He seemed confused, but then apparently understood, for he nodded.
"Whatever we say, Ruin can hear," Vin thought. "We can't give away what we know."
Still, something passed between them. A knowledge that they had to stay at Fadrix, that they had to find out what was in that storage cavern. For their enemy was working hard to keep them from doing so. Was Ruin indeed behind the chaos in Luthadel? A ploy to draw Ellen and his forces back to restore order, thereby abandoning Fadrix? It was only speculation, but it was all they had. Vin nodded to Ellen, indicating that she agreed with his determination to stay. Still, she worried. Luthadel was to have been their rock in all of this, their secure position. If it was falling apart, what did they have? More and more she was beginning to understand that there would be no falling back. No retreat to develop alternative plans. The world was collapsing around them, and Ellen had committed himself to Fadrix. If they failed here, there would be nowhere else to go. Eventually, Ellen squeezed her shoulder, then walked off into the mists to check on some of the guard posts. Vin remained alone, staring up at those watchfires, feeling a worrisome sense of foreboding. Her thoughts from before, in the fourth storage cavern, returned to her. Fighting wars, besieging cities, playing at politics, it wasn't enough. These things wouldn't save them if the very land itself died. But what else could they do? The only option they had was to take Fadrix and hope the Lord Ruler had left them some clue to help. She still felt an inexplicable desire to find the Atium. Why was she so certain it would help? She closed her eyes, not wanting to face the mists, which, as always, pulled away from her, leaving a half inch or so of empty air around her. She'd drawn upon them once, back when she'd fought the Lord Ruler. Why had she been able to fuel her allomancy with their power that one time? She reached out to them, trying again, as she had so many times. She called to them, pleaded with them in her mind, tried to access their power. And she felt as if she should be able to. There was a strength to the mists, trapped within them. But it wouldn't yield to her. It was as if something kept them back, some blockage, perhaps? Or maybe a simple whim on their part. "Why," she whispered, eyes still closed, "why help me that once but never again? Am I mad? Or did you really give me power when I demanded it?" The night gave her no answers. Finally, she sighed and turned away, seeking refuge inside of the tent. "Hemallergic spikes change people physically, depending on which powers are granted, where the spike is placed, and how many spikes someone has. Inquisitors, for instance, are changed drastically from the humans they used to be. Their hearts are in different places from those of humans, and their brains rearranged to accommodate the lengths of metal jabbed through their eyes. Kolos are changed in even more drastic ways. One might think that Chondra are changed most of all. However, one must remember that new Chondra are made from mist wraiths and not humans. The spikes worn by the Chondra cause only a small transformation in their hosts, leaving their bodies mostly like that of a mist wraith, but allowing their minds to begin working. Ironically, while the spikes dehumanize the Kolos, they give a measure of humanity to the Chondra."
41. "Don't you see, Breeze?" Sazed said eagerly. "This is an example of what we call ostension, a legend being emulated in real life. The people believed in the survivor of Hathsin, and so they have made for themselves another survivor to help them in their time of need."
Breeze raised an eyebrow. They stood near the back of a crowd gathering in the market district, waiting for the citizen to arrive.
"It is fascinating," Sazed said. "This is an evolution of the survivor legend that I never anticipated. I knew that they might deify him. In fact, that was almost inevitable. However, since Kelsier was once an ordinary person, those who worship him can imagine other people achieving the same status."
Breeze nodded distractedly.